We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight, American soldier.
Well, it's Veterans Day, and we're going to talk a little Veterans Day in the last 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, the church has had at times some tension with those who fight, who sometimes kill, in the name of their country. It was a question at the time of the Reformation. Luther even wanted to answer the question, can a soldier too be saved? His answer was yes. How did he come to that conclusion? Joining us to discuss Veterans Day is Chaplain Jonathan Shaw. He's a U.S. Army chaplain, currently assigned as a student at the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania. Chaplain Shaw, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, good evening.
As we celebrate this Veterans Day, are we glorifying war thereby?
I certainly hope not. The purpose of Veterans Day is to honor America's veterans for their patriotism, their love of the country, their willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. In fact, the original purpose of Veterans Day, if you go all the way back to Armistice Day, which was celebrated in celebration of the end of World War I, was to commemorate with thanksgiving and prayers to God for continued peace. So there was a distinctively spiritual emphasis to Veterans Day, looking to God as the one who gives peace and praying that he might continue to give us peace.
How should Christians regard war? What does Scripture instruct us in this regard?
Well, the first thing is war is plain and simple a consequence of sin. It's a very it's a sad thing, and then the soldier, of course, the one who fights war, knows that it's nothing to be sought or glorified. That said, God uses all things, even war, for good. And so although in and of itself war is a consequence of sin and we are not to seek war, God can use war, and indeed the Scriptures declare that he does. He uses it for his good purposes, whereby he calls nations to protect those who need protecting and to put down or punish those who are evil.
At the time of the Reformation, Luther felt the need to answer the question, can a soldier too be saved? How did he answer that question from Holy Scripture?
He answered it finally that that the vocation of being a soldier was a godly vocation for the Christian. In a sense, it could be viewed as being an executioner. It wasn't his judgment. It wasn't his pressing of force against an enemy, but rather, on behalf of the state, he applied force, again, to protect those who needed protecting and to punish those who are evil. And Luther is very clear on this, that it's not inherently a Christian vocation. That is to say, what matters is for the individual Christian, the faith that is in his heart. And Martin Luther noted that there was always a temptation for the soldier to trust in the rightness of his cause instead of the righteousness of his God. And so, even so today, the soldier serving might, in his heart, might think, well, I'm doing what is right because of the rightness of our cause. Well, I'm proud that I do serve in the United States Army, and I serve as a chaplain. But finally, no one's motives are pure, and no one's actions are perfect. So we must trust not in the perfection or the rightness of our cause, but the righteousness which is a gift from God through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Chaplain Shaw, have you experienced combat?
Yes, I have.
How would you describe that that experience briefly to us?
Well, you know, if you're in combat, the first thing that strikes a soldier is, of course, probably the self-doubt. Am I going to do what I need to do? Because it's very important that you work as a unit, as a team. And so the first thing, if you're actually experiencing combat, in addition to the natural fear, which is going to be present, is that you don't want to let down your buddy. Because you're protecting him, he's protecting you, you're there as a team, you're there to accomplish a mission for the military, you're sent there by the nation, you simply don't want to let down anybody. So that's the first thing. And really, that's the main thing. And then what happens is, in the down times, you start reflecting, what did I do? Did I do what was right? Have I served honorably and rightly? And then all kinds of doubts and temptations can come. Of course, you miss family and friends, and that's another temptation or difficulty that must be surmounted.
I've never experienced it. Hope never to do so, and are grateful for those who are willing to do so on my behalf. But if I were in that position, I think the doubt would be at times overwhelming to wonder, I knew what I had to do, and I did what I had to do in the moment. But I think guilt would be a particular struggle for the soldier who's seen combat. Is that true?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. When I've gone, I try to offer two services a day because schedules are crazy, a service in the morning at 7, a service in the evening at 7. And it's amazing. At one point I had, I guess, 180 services in a row, two a day for 90 days, and there was never a service. I didn't have a soldier come up to me and express doubt, guilt, or in some way looking to find the consolation and comfort that comes from knowing we have a faithful God who forgives us, who stands by our side, and will never leave us or forsake us through Jesus Christ, his Son. And I do want to say this. I know our time is very short this evening, but in addition to thinking about all the soldiers who have served, some who have deployed and some who haven't, and all of our service members, not just soldiers, but soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and Coast Guardsmen, we must remember their families, because the strength that accrues to a service member from support of the family is invaluable, and it cannot be overestimated. It's just incredibly important. And so we give thanks to God for support of the family members through all this. It's very difficult on them, too, as you could imagine.
And then with only about a minute, those who return home, who end their service in the defense of our country, what is the consolation there as they go on into civilian life, if they do?
Well, service members can rightly feel proud that they had an opportunity to serve. They do not do it for their own glory or for their own benefit, but they did it for their country and for a noble cause. There will be difficulties in forging ahead. You know, you'll have left family and friends, and there'll be some adjustments that come back, adjustments with family and friends as you pick up responsibilities. And there will be adjustments with remembering what you saw and did, and some may have to struggle with PTSD. But in the final analysis, these difficulties are overcome through faith. Healing comes in this life, but perfect healing finally only comes in the next life, which we begin to experience through the forgiveness and strength that we have in Christ.
Chaplain Jonathan Shaw is U.S. Army Chaplain, currently assigned as a student at the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania. Chaplain Shaw, thank you for your service to our country, and thanks for being our guest.
Sir, it's been my privilege.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for November is the Lutheran Study Bible. The name says it all. It is, in fact, the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testament. It is for personal study, for corporate study. It provides all those resources that you would normally find in a study Bible, so that's there. But it is also distinctly Lutheran. That is to say, it clearly teaches what Scripture teaches. There's nothing more to the word Lutheran than what Scripture teaches. It is distinctly Lutheran in its approach, which means it's going to be the best study Bible you'll ever find out there in terms of its research and its scholarship. and its affinity for Holy Scripture itself. Find out more about the Lutheran Study Bible at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order your copy of the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Colleen Carroll Campbell about a pro-life amendment attached to the House Healthcare Reform Bill. We'll also discuss Leaving Homosexuality. Alan Chambers of Exodus International will be our guest. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. They say it's a dirty job and someone has to do it. Well, I think that kind of sums it up. But along with that job does come the guilt for deeds that were done. Yes, in service of the country. Yes, in order to support one's fellow soldiers, your buddies in the field. But nonetheless, I think the soldiers who serve among us, or who have served among us, are acutely aware of the fact that there is guilt that can only be atoned for. All of our guilt can only be atoned for by the blood that Christ shed for us. There are sins that we cannot forget that we have committed. Not only the taking of a life, perhaps, that we still have doubt about, but even then, those sins of thought, word, and deed that in God's scale rise to equal caliber. And whether that sin seems small or big, or is long remembered or easily forgotten, it is all completely washed away with the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. And thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.